Chapter 11. Confusing Promises. Summer felt truly over as Verity sat curled up reading the Bible on her sofa. It had been a frosty Friday, and most of the brightly coloured leaves had blown off in the high winds last night. Now all the big maples and oaks looked bare and dead. Their painted leaves littered the entire lawn. Since it was Friday, the house was very quiet because Mum and Aunt Judy always worked until late. Verity had finished her homework quickly before dinner and now had a couple of hours left to carry on with her search. She heard a door bang downstairs, and her mind momentarily drifted to thoughts about her brother. Thomas had seemed in good humour today for once, yet she couldn't understand why he seemed to get along with Hank so well. Did they really have that much in common? Tonight, after eating the lasagna Mum had left for them, he had mumbled something about schoolwork and retired to his room. Maybe he would be all right after all. After finally getting through Joshua and Judges, Verity had found Ruth and 1 Samuel delightful stories again. There were still struggles between good and evil, but to her relief there wasn't so much killing and destruction. She was enthralled with the story of David, a humble shepherd boy who had been chosen by God to be king. The last few nights she had been so interested that she decided to keep reading in Samuel rather than to go on to the New Testament. Now, however, Verity was intently trying to sort through 2 Samuel chapter 7. There were more promises in this chapter. This time they were being made to David, who had finally become the king of Israel. Once again, God had used that word forever in talking about David's throne. She read the verse over a fourth time to herself. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Where was David's throne today? There wasn't a king in the modern nation of Israel, so what could forever mean? Trying to put into practice what she had learned from the seminar, she examined the cross-references in her centre margin, and one led her to Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33. Here an angel said that Jesus would sit on David's throne forever. I don't understand why it says that, she puzzled. Jesus certainly didn't reign like a king anywhere in Matthew's gospel. If Jesus is up with God, then why talk about him sitting on a man's throne on earth? It suddenly occurred to her to call Mr. Simons. He had said he would be happy to answer her questions at any time. Mrs. Simons answered the call. Verity was very disappointed when she learned Mr. Simons was at a youth group that evening. But Verity, I'll try to answer your questions if you like, Mrs. Simons offered. Verity explained about the promise and how confused she was. Oh, you've just come across one of the most important promises in the whole Bible, Mrs. Simons said enthusiastically.
I have?
Yes. What is God promising David? That he would have a son, that his son would build God a house, and that his kingdom would last forever.
Very good, said Mrs. Simons. Now, did David have a son?
Yes, lots of them.
Right, and God chose Solomon to be the next king, didn't he? Did Solomon's kingdom last forever?
Well, no one is called a king in Israel today, Verity answered.
That's correct. And actually, the kingdom in Israel only lasted approximately 300 to 400 years after Solomon. Then the Babylonians took the Israelites captive, and they never again had a king. So Solomon was David's son, and he did build God a temple, but his kingdom certainly didn't last forever.
Okay, agreed Verity. So what is God promising?
Mrs. Simons carried on explaining. Now you remember to use your cross-references, she praised, and you found Luke chapter 1, verse 33. What do verses 31 and 33 say?
Verity turned back to the reference. They say, You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.
So who is really the promised son that will reign on David's throne? Mrs. Simons asked.
I guess it must be Jesus. Verity replied.
Did Jesus reign as a king while he was on the earth?
Not at all, Verity answered.
And where was David's throne?
Jerusalem.
So, if Jesus didn't reign in Jerusalem as a king when he was on earth the first time, then this must need to happen in the future, Mrs. Simon stated. Now, Verity, in my King James version of 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, she continued, it says that David's throne would be established forever before him. David will get to see this happen. She paused a moment and then asked, "You started reading the Bible in Genesis, didn't you?"
"Yes," Verity responded, feeling this was all very interesting, but she just didn't understand how God was going to work it all out.
"Oh, good," said Mrs. Simons. "Now, if you've already been through Genesis, you probably remember promises God made to a man called Abraham."
"I do, and God said forever to him as well," Verity replied.
"I was confused about that promise too, because Abraham ended up having to buy land to bury his wife in when God had already told him he could have all the land he could see."
"Ah, yes," Mrs. Simons answered. "If you turn to Acts chapter 7, verses 2 to 5, Stephen talks about that very promise. Maybe his words will shed some light on this."
Verity found the place and read the passage slowly to herself. "It says that God didn't give Abraham any of the land he promised, so that's why Abraham had to buy land." She paused, trying to put it all together. "But why couldn't God keep his promise?"
"Let's look at one more passage, and then you might be able to answer that yourself," Mrs. Simon said encouragingly. "Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 16. It took Verity a while to find Hebrews, but at last she did, and she read it over slowly again. With a sigh, she said meekly, "Now I'm more confused than ever, Mrs. Simons. Abraham didn't get his promise, but he expected to get it in the future, and he's looking for a heavenly country. Does that mean God will make him the same land up in heaven?"
"Well, Verity," answered Mrs. Simons patiently, "let's go over what we've learned from these verses. It's always more exciting if you can come to see the answer for yourself."
"Abraham was promised land," she stated slowly. "He never received any of it, and he didn't expect to, because he knew he would get it in the future. Are you okay with that?" she asked. When Verity gave her assent, Mrs. Simons continued, "Now David was promised a son, who we discovered was Jesus. He was also promised that he would see his son's kingdom established forever. So how will Abraham get to have his promised land forever, and David be able to see his son Jesus ruling from Jerusalem forever?"
"Well, the only way I can see it happening is if they are alive again on the earth," Verity concluded hesitantly. "So will Jesus have to come back down from heaven?"
"That's it, Verity. As you read through the New Testament, you will find many other passages that refer to Jesus returning to earth to reign as king. Now, just to show you something really exciting, let's look up Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29. Verity read the verses out loud. "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise."
"Wow," said Verity tentatively. "Is this saying that if we get baptized, then we will inherit Abraham's promises also?"
She hesitated, still trying to fit everything in. "But why would God bring back everyone to earth when they are already enjoying heaven?" Mrs. Simons paused for a moment, and then she said, "Verity, I could answer that question for you right now, but I think you will enjoy finding the answer yourself. On the last night of the seminars, we usually give out a study sheet on this very topic. I think, since you have thought so much about this, that it would be really good for you to do it now." With a pause, she added, "Your determination is wonderful to see, Verity. Jesus encourages us to seek, and that if we do seek, we will find. I'm sure Mr. Simons will be happy to explain the study sheet to you after school on Monday."
"Oh, I hope so, Mrs. Simons. I would be so glad to understand all of this."
Her head was in a bit of a whirl after all this new information. It was quite interesting, but something didn't sit right with Verity. Heaven had always seemed like such a wonderful place to go to, so why would anyone want to come back to the earth? Towards the end of the phone call, Verity became aware of a horn honking nearby and a door banging downstairs. As she hung up the phone and looked out the window, she was sure she saw Thomas getting into a car on the road. It drove off, screeching the tires and swaying from side to side. Her hands flew to her face. Where, oh, where was Thomas going?